God can use anyone, can he? I'll tell you, that's special. About a month ago, Brother Bob Gray was here, Dr. Gray, and brought a great message, and we were all excited, and a lot of people came forward, and after church was over Sunday morning, Brother Bob came up and he said, "Hey, preacher, I want to let you know something. I surrendered to preach today." And I said, "Wow, that's exciting, Brother Bobby." And we prayed together and got some guys around, prayed over him, and we're excited about it. He baptized for the first time today, and he's going to preach his first message. So, Brother Bobby, you come. Let's give him a great hand. Amen.
Hi, everybody. I let you know I'm really nervous. My hands are shaking. The only reason I'm putting this on is because if I walk away, it's because I'm really nervous and you might not be able to hear me. Ask the teens, I'll let you know. And I'll tell you, when I first started doing the teen class, it was a junior high team. I was doing the junior teens, and you know, they were 12 and 13 year olds, and I would start to do my lesson and I would feel myself losing my breath and I would almost pass out. So if I do that, I'll be okay, but it may be that whole scenario all over again, so just bear with me. I seen myself in my mind's eye many times standing in front of this pulpit, and I believe God's been calling me to preach for a while. I just surrendered when Dr. Gray was here. But I believe God's been preparing me and preparing my family to go further in ministry. And I don't, people say, how do you know? I just know that I know that I know that God called me to do this. And I usually don't cry, and I'm usually not this emotional. Just bear with me, you know. I'll get control of myself. But this, the responsibility that God gives you to preach his word is an awesome responsibility, because it's God's word. It's not something that I'm telling you that I wrote down, or a book that somebody wrote down. This is God's word. And it's responsibility to you to give you something that I believe God gave me to give to you. It's not something that I believe that I have for you, because I have nothing of myself. Because I'm just a construction worker who has a high school education. I'm not a theologian. I never went to school. But I believe what God's word says, and I believe God can use anybody, and I believe God uses me tonight. And hopefully, if you pay attention, that you'll get something out of what I'm saying, because it's not from me, it's from God. Okay. There's a lot of things that, obviously, in the scriptures that you could preach about. God laid something in my heart a while ago, and this is I preached this to the teens. And I was talking to a man one time, and he said, you know, adults are just like teens, too. Some of them, half of them aren't even paying attention half the time. Some of them are. He said, you know, they're just older teens. So I'm looking at it like that, and God laid this on my heart to tell them, but I believe that adults can get something out of this, too. I'm going to talk to you about love. Now, love in the Bible is in the Bible 286 verses, just the word love, not loving kindness, just the word love. So there's a lot of scripture you can get. I could talk to you about God's love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We all know that verse. That would be an easy verse to preach on. But that's not what I'm going to preach on tonight. I could preach to you on the love of Christ, because we all know Christ died for us. And Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And that's what we are. That's what, before we get saved, we are the ungodly. Christ died for us. Now, you can preach a ton of messages on that too, but that's not what God laid on my heart. I could preach to you on how we should love one another, and that's one of God's commandments, that we should love one another. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." But that's not what he wanted me to preach about either. But what I want to preach to you about tonight and talk to you about is our love towards God. We know that God loves us. We know that Christ loves us. God gave his only Son. Christ died for us. We know that. But how much do we love God? How does God know that we love him? The Bible says works without faith is dead. Love without works is useless. I could tell my wife that I love her till I'm blue in the face, but if I don't ever show her that I love her, how does she really know? I can say it, and like I told the teens, love is a word that we use flippantly. We say, oh, I love you. You can tell anybody that you love them. But unless you can show that you love them, unless you show it to them, it's just a word. So I want to go to John 21, verse 15. Jesus is asking Peter, and you're all familiar with this verse. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, and I just pray that I'll be a blessing to the people, Lord, and I pray that you'll use me, Lord, in a mighty way tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll use me to reach people, Lord. I pray that your words will come out of my mouth. It'll be my voice that they hear, but Lord, but it'll be your words that they're hearing. Lord, and I just pray that we'll pay attention, Lord, and I just pray that I'll be able to speak the way you want me to speak, Lord, and do the things you want me to do. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is after Jesus Christ was crucified, and this is after he came back. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Some of his disciples were with him. They went fishing, and Jesus came back. And this is in the prior verses. They didn't catch any fish. Jesus came, and he said, this is the Christ. Jesus is asking him, lovest thou me more than these? These people are his family, his friends, his job. He's saying, do you love me more than that? Thou lovest me. Do you love me more than these? And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Do we love the Lord more than we love our family, our friends, our jobs? Do we love him more than that? If I asked you, do you love the Lord? Everyone would say, amen, I love the Lord. I would say, amen, I love the Lord. Okay, we can all say that, but how do we prove to the Lord that we love him? And that's what he's asking Peter. Because Peter told him before, Lord, I love you. I'll follow you. Peter, lovest thou me? Now, Jesus knew they loved him, but I think he wanted Peter to realize how much do you love me? I want you to show me. And if Jesus Christ would ask you, lovest thou me, how would you show him? So I wrote down a couple things. Would you be willing to forsake your family for Jesus? Now, I'm not saying your husband or your wife, you're going to divorce your wife and forsake them and serve Jesus. But would you be willing to forsake your family for Jesus? The disciples, when Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, they left their families right away. They said, no. And I think a lot of people say, you know what? I can't leave my family. I can't follow you because this is my family. They followed him right away. They left, John and James left their father. They left their jobs. They left what they knew to follow Jesus. Would you be willing to leave your family to follow Jesus? Would you be willing to, just like Brother Mark did, just like Preacher did? Preacher left his family in Toledo to come serve God because this is where God called him to go. He loved Jesus more than his family, because he could have said, you know what, my family really doesn't want me to go. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be with them. But he knew that this is where Jesus wanted him. He loved Jesus more, so he left his family. Would you be willing to leave your family? If you're raised a certain religion, for example, my buddy Mike came tonight, and I'm glad that he did. He was raised Catholic. Now, Mike got saved. He listened to the message that preacher had about hell. He pulled over and he got saved. Now Mike's family is Catholic. They're a devout Catholic family. But Mike was willing to leave his Catholic faith to follow God because he loved Jesus. He was willing to do that. He was willing to leave his family and forsake them and their beliefs because he loved Jesus. Would we be willing to do that? Would you be willing to leave your family? A lot of people, I believe, don't get saved and they don't follow Christ because they won't leave their family. They're afraid to. A lot of people won't leave their family even after they get saved because their family doesn't want anything to do with God. So they stay with their families. They love their family more than they love Jesus. Jesus, if you turn to... I have notes. I just want you to know that. And I wrote everything down. But a lot of times when I'm teaching the teens, I kind of forget what my notes say. So I'm going to try to follow that. But bear with me. Turn to Matthew. Chapter 10, verse 37. Because a lot of people will say, well, Jesus would never ask me to forsake my family. Jesus would never say, choose me over my family. A lot of people believe that. Matthew 10, verse 37 says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus wants you to choose him. Jesus wants you to love him more than anybody. Jesus wants you to choose him first and your loved one second. You're to love God and love Jesus more than anybody else. And I know that's a hard thing to do. I love my family, I love my wife, but I'm supposed to love Jesus even more. And that's what he's telling you there. If you love your family more than me, then you're not worthy of me. There's a lot of disciples, I think a lot of people are called, but they won't leave their families to serve God. They won't leave their families to get saved because they love their family. But the Bible clearly says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. If you go to Matthew 8, 21 and 22. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. The disciple wanted to say, let me stay here. I don't know if maybe his dad was sick, maybe his father died. Let me stay here and bury my father first, and then I'll follow you. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Jesus said, leave them there and follow me. Are you willing to do that? That's what you need to ask yourself. Lovest thou me more than these? That's what Jesus is asking. Would you be willing to choose God over your kids? And I know you, and a lot of you don't have kids, teenagers, hopefully. Would you be willing to choose Jesus over your kids? And you say, well, how do I have to do that? Well, if your kids don't want to come to church, they don't want to come back to Sunday night service, they don't want to come to Wednesday service, they want to do what they want to do, are you going to let them do that? Or are you going to choose God and say, no, you're coming with me? We're going to go to church on Sunday, we're going to go to church on Wednesday. But a lot of parents will say, you know what, you don't want to come, you can stay home, I'm going. And they'll leave their kids at home. Or they'll say, well, I can't come back Sunday night because my kids don't really want to, so we just come on Sunday morning. You're choosing your kids over choosing over Jesus. You're loving your kids more than you're loving Jesus. It's a hard thing to say, well, I have to choose Jesus over my kids, or I have to choose Jesus over my family, but that's what you have to do. Lovest thou me more than these? A lot of kids, when I grew up, I didn't grow up in church. My whole life, everything my dad did with me was sports. I wrestled from the time I was 5 years old. I was in every kind of sport there was. That's all we did. A lot of people that are in the streets where I live, I grew up there, they say, hey, is Austin wrestling? No. Why not? Because they have it on Sundays. I said, so he can't wrestle. I didn't put him in wrestling because it was on Sunday afternoons, or they had tournaments on Saturday and Sunday. We missed church. So I tell them no, and they look at me like, really? That's really odd. It's not odd to me, because I want him to know that God is more important than anything. When Austin first started baseball, I told him, you know what, you're not going to be able to play on Wednesdays if you have games. And he was 5 years old at the time. He didn't really know. He's like, okay. So a lot of people say, well, why'd you do that? Well, if you don't start it at a young age, when they get older, when they become teenagers, you can't say, well, you know, you can't play on Wednesdays because you're in church. And they can say, well, I played all these years. Now, why can't I play now? So I figured if I started it when they were younger, of course, I was younger then. When they were younger, that they would understand that God is the most important thing in their life. And that's what I want them to understand. Sports is a great thing, and sports is a good thing for kids, and I'm not saying it's not. But God is the most important thing, because when sports are over, what do you have? God's never going to end. You always have God. You always have your faith. A lot of people, they'll play sports, and they're They're great sports guys in high school. When high school's over, they don't ever play a sport again. So what did it get them? As long as I raise my son to love God, then if he doesn't ever play a sport, that's okay. People that I grew up with, they don't understand that because that's what I did. I did a lot of sports, especially wrestling. That was a big thing in my life. And they can't understand why he doesn't do that. Well, he doesn't do that because I'm choosing, because I love Jesus more, and I want my son to have that love for him instead of having that love for sports.
Amen.
Would you be willing to choose Jesus over your spouse? And that's a hard thing for people to say, well, God wouldn't make me make that choice. God makes us choose sometimes him over our spouse because there's a lot of things that God might call you to do in the ministry that maybe your spouse is like, you know what, I don't really want you to do that. That'll take too much time away from us. I don't want you to do that. You know, and they might give you a hard time. And this goes for men and women. But talking from a guy's point of view, I have a desire to please my wife. I want my wife to be happy, and I think most men have that desire. Most men want to make their wives happy. Most women want to make their husbands happy. But you might have to choose the love of Jesus over the love of your wife. You might have to say, you know what? I know you don't really understand it, you don't like it, but I have to do this because this is what God wants me to do. I have to choose him over you. And if you're having a problem with that, then maybe you need to pray and ask God to change your wife's heart, that she'll go along with it. Because I believe if God calls you to do something, he's going to change her heart so you're able to do it. He's not going to cause friction. Now you say, well, how would that happen? If you look at Adam and Eve, and they're a perfect example of choosing the love of his wife over the love of God. Adam chose to eat the apple. Adam chose the love of his wife over the love of God. He said, he knew that he was going to die when he took the bite of that apple. He knew that he would be kicked out of the Garden of Eden. He knew all that. But he loved his wife so much that he chose the love of his wife over the love of God. His desire was to please his wife and be with his wife so much that he said, you know what? Even if I'm going to die, I'm sorry, God, I'm choosing her. He made that choice. Are we willing to choose God over our wife? Not that you're going to have to leave your wife and divorce her because God doesn't want that, but you might have to choose something to do that your wife may not understand. You might have to choose something to do that isn't always convenient for your family, isn't always convenient for your wife. Just like I said, Brother Mark, he moved his family here. Preacher moved his family here. His family may not have wanted to come here. Rosie may not have wanted to come here when she first heard about it. But you know what? God knew that she would be okay with it. They moved here and everything's been fine. You might have a little problem at first when you first tell your wife, you know what, God's calling me to do something. God wants me to do this, teach a Sunday school class. God wants me to be on the bus route. And I just talked to a guy this weekend about the same conversation. He said, you know what, you really helped me. He said, because God's been calling me to work on a bus route, but my wife's not too happy about it. He goes, but you know what, I know what I got to do. I know that I have to do what God wants me to do. So he had to make that choice. He's going to make the choice of driving on a bus and doing a bus route over the love of his wife. His wife's still going to love him. He still loves his wife, but he's choosing God over her. We have to make those choices in our life. Lovest thou me more than thee? Do you love Jesus more than you love yourself? And this is one that you really have to look at yourself. Do you love God more than you love you? Now you say, well, come on, I don't love myself like that. We all love ourselves. We all love, you may not come around and say, you know, I really love, you're not going to look in the mirror and say, you know, I love myself. I am just all of that. Now, Brother Dave does that, but that's just it. But are you willing to choose the love of God over yourself? It's like, well, how do you mean? Do you choose the love of God over your own pleasures? Do you choose the love of God over the things that the music you listen to? Because when you choose to listen to that music, you're choosing you and yourself and your love for you over God. Because God wants you to listen to godly music that edifies him, not worldly music that you really like to dance to and you really like to sing to. And believe me, I used to listen to that music, and like I told the teens, there's music I haven't listened to in 20 years, but I still know the words of those songs. And those are not good songs. And those make you think about things you shouldn't think about. But are you willing to choose the love of God over those? Are you willing to choose the love of God over the TV shows that you watch? There are shows that you watch that you say, they're okay. They may be okay in your eyes, but God really approve of those shows? Do you choose the love of yourself and the shows that you like to watch over the love of God? Because God wants us, our eyes, to behold things that edify Him, not things that are worldly and things that cause us to think of things that we shouldn't think about. Do you change the channel when something comes on that you shouldn't be watching? Like Victoria's Secret commercials, guys. Do you change the channel or do you sit there and you just watch it and pretend like you're not? At our house, we have our hand on the remote at all times because you never know what's going to come on. And my son, Jimmy, is really good for, and I'm not saying Austin's not, but Jimmy's really good for if something comes on TV show and he goes, and he'll look away until we say it's okay to look. But he's teaching himself to do that because he loves the Lord and he wants to please God. So he's choosing at a young age, he's choosing the love of God more than himself. Do you choose to love God more than yourself in anything that you do? Do you choose to love God more than your job? A lot of people have really good jobs and make a lot of money. Are you willing to choose God over your career or your job? Are you willing to choose Him over maybe, like Dr. Gray was an accountant for GM or thing of GM, but God called him to preach. He chose the love of God over the love of his job and his career. Are you willing to choose God, even if you're going to college right now and you're this close to graduating and God called you to do something else for Him? Are you willing to choose Him over your job? Are you willing to choose God over money? And that is yourself, because when you make money, it makes people happy because people get things with money. Are you willing to choose Him and maybe not work on Sundays, maybe not work on Wednesday nights, maybe not work as much as you do so maybe you can do more for God? Are you willing to choose God over that? Lovest thou me more than these? Do you lovest thou me more than you love money? A lot of people, and there's a lady that goes to this church that I told the teens, it was Robin Greer, because she asked us to pray. She was going to have to start working Sunday through Wednesday so she could never be in church. She told the lady, you know what? I made a promise a long time ago, and I'm going to keep my promise. She goes, oh, you know, promises are meant to be broken. She goes, well, I didn't make that promise to my husband or to my preacher. I made that promise to God. She said, if I have to, I will quit my job. She was willing to quit her job and find another one because she wouldn't be able to be in church. She was choosing the love of God over her job. Funny thing is, she prayed and we prayed. God knew that she loved Him more. She got to keep her job and keep her schedule. She was told that her schedule will not change, even though other people's are. Are you willing to do that? How do you get this love? How do you get a love for God? And that's one thing that got me to talk about this lesson when I first did it with the teens is some people have such a love for God, and I know preacher has such a love for God, and sometimes you think, why don't I have that? How comes I don't have that kind of love? And love is different for everybody. Everybody has a different degree of love and how they show it. But there's some people you just think, how do they have such love for Jesus? How do they do that? And that's what got me to think about this. You get that love for Jesus the more that you read about Him, the more that you know about Him, the more that you have a relationship with Him. The more that you can't love somebody unless you have a relationship with them. And a good example for me is me and my dad. My dad lives in Florida. He moved to Florida about 30 years ago. Him and my mom were divorced when we were at a young age. I love my dad because he's my dad. We love Jesus because He died for us. And we can all say that we love Him because of that. I can say I love my dad because he's my dad. But I don't have that relationship that I have with him that other people have with their dad. Preacher had a great relationship with his dad, and he loved them dearly. His dad was his best friend. I can't say that about my dad. I take my kids to see my dad because I want them to see their grandpa. But and it's kind of like what we do at church. I love God. I'll bring my kids to church. I take my kids. They see my dad for a little bit, and then they go home. But they don't have that relationship with him because he lives far away. We're kind of like that. Some people are like that with their kids. They bring their kids to church. I'm going to let you meet God. Okay, now we're going to go home. But they don't have that relationship. You have to have that relationship. I'm never going to have that with my dad because he lives far away. I want to have that relationship with my son so we can love each other more. Same kind of relationship I had with my wife. I love my wife more now today than I did when I met her 22 years ago. Because I got to know her. I got to see what makes her. Sometimes she asks me, why do you love me? I can't put it into words why I love her. I just love her more and more every day because I have a relationship with her. That's what I have. I found myself with God. I love God more the more I get to know Him, the more I read the Scripture, the more I have a relationship, the more I pray. If you don't ever pray to God, if you don't ever read his Bible, if you don't ever talk to him, you're not going to love him more. You have to have a relationship with him. A relationship isn't just him talking to you when you come to church and you half listen and then you go home and forget about it. A relationship is when you sit down and you pray and you talk to God. Like I told the teens, praying to God, you can pray to God anytime. It's just talking to him. Know that he's God, but you're having a relationship. You're talking to God and telling him things that you want, your desires. That's what I, the way that I can love God more is to get into the scripture and read more about him and love him more that way. And know all the things that he's done for me, the things that he gives us freely. Just like preacher says, he gives us a rejoicing that we can have. He gives us all these things freely. God wants us to love him. God wants us to choose him. I tell people all the time, tell the teens, God's not going to make you do anything. God's not going to make you do anything in your life for him. God wants you to choose him. God wanted Peter to choose him over everything that he had. God wants you to choose him over everything that you have and everything that you do. He wants you to love him as much as he loved us. Now, we can never die for God, although there are martyrs that have died for God, but we can never give our life for him. We can give our life for him working for him. That's the only thing we can do. We can only give ourselves to God. We can tell God we love him as much as we want. We can say, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, God. But until we show him, he's asking you, lovest thou me? The Bible says, if you love God, you'll keep my commandments. What is the number one commandment that God gave us? The number one commandment that God gave us is in Matthew 22:37. Turn to that. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. If we love God, the Bible says if we love God, we will keep his commandments. God says, if you keep his commandments, you're showing that you love me. This is his number one commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. How do you love the Lord with your mind? You have to love the Lord with your mind by getting into the scriptures, by thinking about him, by talking to him. That's in your mind. If we never get in our Bible, how is God in our mind? Because our mind is things that we see and things that we hear. That's what our mind gets. That's why you're not supposed to watch shows that you watch, listen to music that you shouldn't listen to, talk to people that are using cuss words and telling bad jokes and doing things like that. You're not supposed to be around that because that's what your mind's thinking. If your mind, to love the Lord with your mind, that means your mind has to be on him. You have to give your mind to God. You have to give your heart to God, your soul to God. But I think most importantly, you have to give your mind to God because our mind is what makes us tick. Our mind is what makes us think about him. If you read the scriptures, you're giving your mind to the Lord. If you listen to godly music, you're giving your mind to the Lord. If you don't ever give your mind to the Lord, your mind's going to be on the world. You can't love the Lord with all your mind if you're thinking about the world constantly. If you're thinking about, what am I going to have for dinner? Like right now you might be thinking, are you ever going to get done? When preacher's preaching Sunday morning, when he's running late, people are thinking, oh, I got to get home and eat. I'm starving. And I get hungry too because my stomach growls. But you know what? When you're sitting here listening to the preaching, you're giving your mind to the Lord. You're giving your mind to him. He spends a lot of time getting his messages ready. We can sit here and listen to him. I don't care if he preaches 2 hours over. What he has to say is what God gave him. What God has to say to you is more important than anything that you can do. I tell the kids all the time, it doesn't matter who is preaching out of God's word, it's God talking to you. It's not me, it's not preacher, it's not whoever's up here, it's God. And you need to pay attention to God. You need to give him your mind. Kind of short tonight. Hopefully next time I get to preach, I'll do a little bit better. But I want you to ask yourself, lovest thou me more than these? Whenever you're doing something and you have to make a choice, think to yourself, is God asking me, lovest thou me more than these? When you have to choose your friends, not going to somewhere your friends might go, not going to where sometimes you might tell your family, you know what, I really can't come over there because there's a lot of drinking going on and there's a lot of stuff going on. I can't do that. You might have to choose your family. You might have to think to yourself, is God asking me, lovest thou me more than these? Sometimes You might have to choose your friends and say, you know what? I can't hang around you no more because you're doing those things that aren't right. You're doing those things that go against God. You have to make those choices because you're choosing either the Lord or you're choosing your friend. Choosing the Lord or choosing yourself. A lot of times we'll say, but it doesn't really matter that much. Does it really matter that much if I just do a little bit, if I go over and hang out with them? Not doing what they're doing, but I'm still hanging out with them. If you, and a preacher said to us on the radio one time, anything that you put yourself into, you're saying it's okay that it's being done. Any situation you put yourself into, you're saying, like he said, you're sanctifying that situation. You're saying it's okay that you're doing that. It's okay because I'm putting myself here, so no matter what you're doing, you're saying it's okay to do. Big thing for me is when we started going to church, I said, I'm not going to have any alcohol in my house. I'm not going to allow people to come to my house and drink. Amen. I'm not going to have alcohol in my house. Amen. Many of you know, many of you don't know, my mother is an alcoholic. Alcoholism runs my family. My mom will not come to my house to see us and to see my kids because she's an alcoholic and she's not allowed to drink there. But that's something that I'm choosing the love of the Lord over the love of her. She's choosing the love of alcohol over the love of her kids. Excuse me. That's something that my kids may not understand, but hopefully when they get older, they'll understand that she chose, not that she didn't love them. She does love them, but she's making a choice. And that's what I try to tell people. My brothers won't come to my house because we don't do the same things that we used to do. They want to drink. They want to do drugs. They won't come to my house because I don't do those things. I don't go see them for the same reason. I don't go see my mother because she's constantly drinking beer, and the man that she's living with, he's an alcoholic too. So I don't take my kids around that stuff. I'm choosing the love of Jesus over love of my family. I'm just using myself as an example because that's all I have is for me for an example. But sometimes you got to make hard choices. I'm sure my mom and my brothers don't understand that. Hopefully one day they will. You might have to make that choice, but that's a choice that you have to make within yourself. God didn't make me make that choice. God may say, "Lovest thou me more than these," and you're going to have to choose. Do I love Jesus more to do the things that He wants me to do and not go around the things that He doesn't want me to be around? Because if I go there, if I allow my mom to come to my house and drink, I'm saying it's okay that she drinks. I'm showing my kids, it's okay if you drink. Right. I can't say, don't ever drink, and then I allow people in my house that drink. Right. That's like my mom growing up, she would tell my brother, you shouldn't be drinking, as she was drinking a beer. Doesn't hold much weight. I can't tell my kids anything unless I'm going to be an example to them and show them that you can't do that. I wouldn't be a very good example because preachers uses me sometimes about your kids playing sports on Wednesdays if all of a sudden I decided, you know what? I'm going to let Jimmy play in a championship game on Wednesday night. What kind of example would I be to him? And the coaches don't understand that because they're like, well, can't Jimmy come and you just go to church and we'll bring him home? That's not the point. I already know what I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to teach him. They don't understand that. Thankfully, my kids do. They're okay with it. We tell the coach at the beginning of the year, you know what? My kids can't play on Wednesdays or Sundays. A lot of times the championships, if we make it there, are on Sunday afternoon. So he won't be there. The first year I told the coach that, Austin was supposed to pitch the next game for a tournament. It was on a Wednesday. I said, well, Austin won't be there. And he goes, what? I said, well, I told you at the beginning of the year he wouldn't be there. And he goes, you're kidding, right? I said, nope. Well, they ended up losing. And I was, not to say it was because Austin wasn't there, but those are the choices that you have to make. Lovest thou me more than these. Sometimes they're hard choices to make, but you have to make them. Ask yourself, because Jesus is asking you every day, lovest thou me more than these? Peter's a good example of that. Peter loved the Lord. He's saying, Peter, you love me more than these. You love me more than these friends. And they were disciples. They were Christian people. Sometimes Christian people aren't always the best people to hang around either. They may be Christian, but they may be doing things they shouldn't be doing. You can't say, well, they're Christians. It doesn't matter if they're going against God, you shouldn't be hanging around them either. And you might have to make that choice, even if they are Christians. You shouldn't be around them. Lovest thou me more than these? That's something that God asks us every day. That's something you need to ask yourself. How much do I love the Lord? Because we can all say we love the Lord. How do I prove it to Him? You prove it to Him by your actions.
Yeah.
I prove to my wife and my kids that I love them by my actions. I give them a kiss every day, tell them that I love them. And then I go to work because I love my kids. I do things for them, and I prove to them every day that I love them that way. What do we do for God to prove that we love Him? We can say we love Him, but He knows we love Him by our actions.
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank You again for this opportunity, Lord, to preach Your Word, and I just pray that, Lord, the people will get it in their hearts, Lord, that we have to make a choice. Do we love You, or do we love ourselves? Do we love You, or do we love our family? Lord, lovest Thou me is a question that we need to ask ourselves in every situation that we have and everything that we choose to do. Lord, I just pray that You'll be with us tonight, Lord. Help us to remember Your Word, Lord, and what You've said to us, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
On every eye closed. By the way, that was a great message, Bobby. Let me ask you something tonight. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? I wonder, do we? What a great truth that he just preached tonight. We need to ask ourselves that. Do I show how much I love Christ in my actions? When I have to choose either between God and the world, do I choose the Lord? As he was preaching, I remember a few years back when Bobby was really challenged, that coach was putting the pressure on. It was a big tournament game. It was for all the marbles. And he called me. He said, "Preacher, you know I've got a standard. I don't let Austin play on Wednesday or Sundays." By the way, if every Christian would do that, maybe they wouldn't play him on Sunday. We just need some people with some convictions. And he said, "Preacher, what do you think about Austin? It's for the tournament." I said, "What do you think?" He said, "I think it'd be wrong." I said, "What's the difference between a tournament and a regular game? It's still wrong." He said, "You're right. Austin didn't pitch that game. He chose the Lord. Probably wouldn't have been preaching tonight, Bobby." I told him before he preached, I said, "You know, Bobby, you're older. You're not a young kid, but you're grown in the Lord, and you've got standards, and you've separated. And that's how God uses people." You've set a standard for your kids. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." Joshua 24:15, he says, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I never shared this, Bobby, but when I was a young kid, right after I started to preach, I still like to play baseball. I can't play no more. I'm all washed up. But when I was a kid and 20 years old, I could still crank that ball. I didn't play on those teams. I could have played on ball teams, but I didn't play because they took me out of church. I couldn't go on visitation. I couldn't go to Wednesday service. I couldn't go to Sunday services. I just said, "Well, much as I miss playing ball, I love God more." We get to heaven, we're going to be glad we chose the Lord. I'm going to challenge you tonight. Live a life choosing God. Put God first. As Bobby was preaching, I thought about that scripture you talked about. We love the world. 1 John 2:15-16 says, "Love not the world nor the things of the world. The love of the world's in you. The love of the Father's not." Lovest thou me, Peter? Many times we love the world more than we do Jesus. Do we really love him? Let's prove it then. Let's start putting Christ first. Let's start telling the world, "No, I'm going to take God over you." I wonder tonight, how many say, preacher, as Bobby preached, there's some things in my life I've not been putting God first. And God spoke to me as Bobby was preaching. I'd like you to pray for me. I'd start putting God first. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, all over the building. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Some of your hearts are so hard and you can't even raise your hand because you got cold hearts. Oh, how God wants to use your lives. He uses people that are surrendered. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Lord, I'm so proud of Brother Bobby. What a great message. What a great truth. What a great challenge. Lord, I saw many hands on both sides of the pews tonight. I don't know what's in those people's lives, but you do. And tonight, as you said, say to them, as you said to Peter, lovest thou me? I pray this week they'll show you that they love you. I pray that I will show you that I love you. Lovest thou me more, Peter? Help us to love you more. And help us to prove it with our actions. Not just with our lips, but help us to do it with our actions of our life. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Let's stand. If you're going to get baptized, come forward.